You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who once tore his ACL playing chess, Pete Chwaba.
Hey, welcome back to Nightlight, folks. It is time for Act Two here on a Wednesday night in the beautiful state of Wisconsin. It is great to have you with me tonight. Wherever you're joining us from, welcome. Lots of fun here tonight. If you missed the first hour of the show, we talked to Marv Wall, a guy with a really cool name. Dom, would you agree?
I would. Like I said, I got to get a beer with him. And he agreed, too. So, you know, this is a win-win.
He said, yeah, now it's awkward. Now you got to, who's going to take that first step, right?
And then he just left instantly after, but that's okay.
No, he was a lot of fun to talk to. And that is the voice of Dom Lee, who is filling in for Conrad tonight. I just confirmed what Conrad has. Conrad is out sick tonight. Mm-hmm. As it turns out, he has gigantism. Ooh. So that's a tough one. I don't know that he'll be back tomorrow. It takes a while to kick it and to have everything come back into shape and size. But if anyone can do it, the guy who can bench almost 300 pounds can do it. Conrad will be just fine, folks. No need to worry about Conrad. So we'll confirm that, too. There might be an update later in the show as to what Conrad is battling. My guess is it's kind of what I have, but maybe a little worse. Scratchy throat, cold, cough, that kind of stuff. But 'tis the season, and Conrad, get well soon. Dom Lee, it is great to work with you again. And let's make this, you know, we're talking about coaches tonight. Let's make this a Notre Dame moment where we tap the sign and say, let's do radio like a champion for this second hour. Mm-hmm. Third hour, we can slack off, but let's really kick some ass the second hour.
Let's do it.
Sound good? Okay. Yep. So if you missed the first hour, folks, check it out at civicmedia.us. Marv Wall was here. He was a lot of fun to talk about. And that Mulva Cultural Center in downtown Green Bay is just a really cool space. So definitely check that out. We also discussed dangerous sports, water polo. Who knew it was dangerous? And darts as well, because there is alcohol involved. My guest is Jim Healy. He will be here at 6:35. Jim is one of the programmers of UW Cinematheque, which is at Vilas Hall. It is a free program. Check it out, folks. It's right there in Madison, and they bring in some outstanding films, some great prints, some restored classics. They have it all there, and they occasionally have great Q&As as well. It's like a year-long film festival experience right there at UW Cinematheque. Jim is also one of the programmers of the Wisconsin Film Festival. And he is a big-time cinephile, so we're going to talk movies with Jim at 6:35. Later in the show, Patty Vasquez, very funny comedian, will be here, and she is now also a columnist and a radio host, and I think she is a plumber. I'm kidding. She does all kinds of stuff, though, folks. It'll be great to have Patty here, and that's at 7:20. And I think look what I did.
Oh, man. You know?
I'm sorry. It's Dom, Con. It's those two are, I encourage one of you to change because Com and Don, I don't know. You just did this too, Dom. Was
I
that
know.
The 6-7?
No, I didn't mean to do that. Oh, I knew you were going to say something there. I knew you were going to say it.
Listen, that cracks me up. I saw what South Park did with 6-7 a couple weeks ago when I watched the season finale. Hilarious. My wife is a kindergarten teacher. Even the kindergarten kids are getting into the 6-7 stuff, and they go 6-7.
If anything, they're getting in more to it than, you know, 20 to 30 or higher, 20 higher. I mean, every younger generation kid is just that's they're getting obsessed with it. It's too much. It's way too much.
You know, it's really strange because my wife is a kindergarten teacher. And she says that she kind of talks. And for those of you not watching on the stream, we're moving our hands like kind of up and down each hand. That's the sign, the universal symbol for the phrase 6-7. And my wife talks like that automatically. And these kindergartners will give each other looks like side eyes, like she's doing 6-7. Like Kindergartners cracking up, and that cracks me up. I think it's a really funny thing.
If I was a kindergartner, I would be doing the same thing. You know,
absolutely.
Yeah, you know, it's a good.
What else do you have to look forward to during the day? A snack? A nap? Come on, get some 6-7 action there. But let's reintroduce our Nightlight question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
Who is your favorite coach? And just to reiterate, folks, it could be a real coach, college, pro, any sport, high school, you name it. Maybe a coach you had, a fictional coach, like Coach from Cheers. Coach Carter, Coach, what was his name in Remember the Titans, or the coach from Rudy, whatever. Gene Hackman from Hoosiers, that's a great coach. Let us know what your favorite, who your favorite coach was. You can let us know on the text line at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us on the app, or if you are watching the radio on YouTube, Facebook, or X, you can drop us a stream comment. We like to read stream comments as well, and we love that there are people out there viewing the radio. That's always fun, too. So let us know. We've got some clips here, too. We, Dom, I got his name right this time. I didn't call him Tom. Conley. That's a great-sounding name, well,
that,
too,
it
though,
is,
Dom.
Yes, I gotta meet up with Conrad and talk about that. Yeah, that's good.
That sounds better than Dom Krieger, although Dom Krieger sounds kind of cool too.
It doesn't, yeah, yeah. People say Dominic, you know, you can just switch the full government name if you want. It's
Dominic
up to you.
Krieger, full government name, love it, buddy. All right, let's hear one of these clips. I tasked Dom with finding great coach clips, and I recommended Bobby Knight because he's always a good one. The other one is Dennis Green, and you found, let's start with the one you found.
Okay, all right.
Tell us about this clip.
Yeah, this is Mike Gundy. I think he was an Oklahoma State football coach. I don't remember the exact date, but he was mad at the media press for, you know, kind of harping down on his young players, and he wanted it to harp down on himself. So let's take a all listen.
Right. That's why I don't read the newspaper, because it's garbage. And the editor that let it come out is garbage, attacking an amateur athlete for doing everything right. And then you want to write articles about guys that don't do things right and downgrade them, the ones that do make plays. Are you kidding me? Where are we at in society today? Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40. I'm not a kid. Write something about me or our coaches. Writing about a kid that does everything right, that's heart's broken, and then say that the coaches said he was scared? That ain't true! And then to say that we made that decision because Donovan Woods, because he threatened to transfer? That's not true! So get your facts straight. And I hope someday you have a child and somebody downgrades him and belittles him, and you have to look him in the eye and say, you know what? It's okay.
There we go.
I actually love that. Sticking up for his players, that's great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a great clip.
I loved it. There's an iconic little piece in there. You know, I'm 40. You know, I'm talk to me. I thought that was really funny. I just thought it was really
love
funny.
It. Yeah. I love a coach. First of all, any coach with a Southern accent goes up a couple points. They're always more fun to listen to. And I just love that he stuck up for his players like that. We've got a text from the 715. Christy says, Ted Lasso. I'm not surprised we heard Ted Lasso. People love Ted Lasso. Great choice, Christy, and thank you for listening. Hope everything is doing great there in Eau Claire tonight. It's great to have you. 608 says Tony Dungy, totally classy. That's a great one, too. Super Bowl winner. Dom, do you remember that Super Bowl?
I do. Briefly. Not terribly, but I remember it. I remember a little bit, yeah. Absolutely.
Beat our Bears, buddy, in 06. That was
I try to forget about it, you know.
Yeah, that's right. And it was kind of, you know, it's really weird. Peyton Manning, I know people love the guy. I'm fine with him. I don't love him, but like, he's got two Super Bowl rings.
Unbelievable.
But in a Super Bowl, in a big game, I would take his brother. Eli took the Super Bowl. His teams won because of his play.
Mm-hmm.
Peyton
mm-hmm.
Manning kind of backed in. I don't know if you remember this, but in 06, the Bears beat themselves. They fumbled. Cedric Benson fumbled. Rex Grossman threw a pick. It was raining. And Indy won. They won the game, no question. I'm just saying it wasn't because of Peyton Manning. Same thing with when he went to Denver. So great regular season quarterback, decent quarterback in the playoffs, but I would take his brother.
I 100% agree with you. You know, in Denver, they had what, one of the best defenses ever assembled.
Yeah.
You know, so that makes complete
Von
sense.
Von Miller.
Yeah, Von Miller.
Absolutely.
Was
so that's a great choice. 608. Thank you. Tony Dungy is a classy dude. 715 says John Ratzenberger. Oh, this is in relation or in regard to what we were talking about earlier with Zoe Saldana being the highest grossing movie actor ever. 715 says John Ratzenberger is the third highest grossing actor of all time, mainly because of his many voiceover roles in Pixar movies and his brief appearance in The Empire Strikes Back. I did not know he was in The Empire Strikes Back. But yeah, he was in the Toy Story movies and very funny too, John Ratzenberger. Of course, I like him as Cliff Clavin, who played opposite his counterpart Coach, who is Coach Ernie Pantuso from Cheers, is probably my all-time favorite fictional coach. You got another clip for us, Dom? Let's hear the, is the Bobby Knight one good? Let's hear the Bobby Knight one.
Yeah, let's hear it.
You know, you only got two people that are going to tell you I'm not going to be here. One is our SID and the other is me. Who the hell told you I wasn't going to be here? I'd like to know. Do you have any idea who it was?
Yeah, I do, Coach.
Who?
I'll point them out to you in a while.
They were from Indiana, right?
No, they're not.
No, weren't from Indiana, and you didn't get it from anybody from Indiana, did you?
Could we please?
No, I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a shit what you do. Now, back to the game. Who's got a question?
That's it.
He was such a jerk. He's a good coach.
Yeah, he sounded terrible. I wouldn't want to talk to him at all.
Oh, he's awful. But look, the guy, you can't argue with success. I mean, he was a great coach for his time. He would not be a coach by modern day standards. He was just too, I mean, he would hit his players and stuff like that.
He would hit his players.
Oh yeah, he would totally. Yeah, he was. He had some issues. He was like kind of a coach of the 60s and 70s. Maybe he coached into the 80s, maybe even the 90s. But he was. He kind of mellowed out as he got older, but he was very volatile. That's Bobby Knight, and we've got Monica from Mount Horeb says couldn't narrow it down to just one. Flip Wilson in The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh.
Wow.
Monica, great pull. Basketball movie. I saw it in the theater in the late, it's probably early 80s when that came out. Walter Matthau in The Bad News Bears. That is a great one as well. And Tom Hanks in A League of Their Own. That is the text of the night. Monica from Mount Horeb, thank you very much. Totally forgot about Flip Wilson in The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh, which is also one of the greatest movie titles in history. 608, this is Mark from Prairie to Sac says, Lombardi was not only a great coach, he was a great human being. He integrated his team and insisted that his players of all colors be treated equally. He also supported gay rights. That is correct. Mark, excellent text, and pardon me, another great quality about Vince Lombardi being just kind of ahead of the curve there too, in addition to being a great coach. Carrie from Tosa in the 414 says Ted Lasso as well. People love their Ted Lasso. Do you watch Ted Lasso, Dom?
I have a little bit, yeah, and that makes sense. You know, that's why we're getting so many feedback. He's a great coach, you know? What can I say?
I gotta say, this is not a popular stance. All right, when we come back, I'm going to tell you what I think about Ted Lasso. Okay. Not as a coach. And I'm also going to tell you about some really cool records that you might not know were set here in Wisconsin, and we'll finish reading our text. This is Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Nothing ever slows her down, and a mess is not allowed. Our house, in the middle of our street. Our house, in the middle of our house.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba, folks. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday night. Dom, Lee, and I are having some fun here tonight in Conrad's absence. We did get a text about Conrad's condition. We'll update you here briefly. Pardon me. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids says he heard Conrad's bubble blower backfired and he ballooned like the blueberry girl in the movie Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Maybe that's true. I can't confirm that, though. Tyler also says John Candy in Cool Runnings. Wow, nice pull. That's a great text. Thank you, Tyler. And we've got, here we go. Todd or Billy from the 414 says probably Coach Taylor from Friday Night Lights, the series. I never watched that. Friday Night Lights. Did you watch that, Tom?
I've watched it once. I don't quite remember it, but I watched it with my dad way back. It is okay. A really good movie.
Is that the movie or is that the show? Oh, that's the movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Friday Night Light. Well, it was both. I think they turned it into a series after that. Cindy, if you're listening, call back. I missed Dom's message, so we'll get you on if you can call back in the next few minutes before we bring Jim Healy on at 6:35. Jim was here to talk movies and about what's coming up at the Wisconsin Film Festival and UW Cinematheque. We always love when Jim joins us to talk movies, and there is no one better to do it with than Jim Healy. So we have one more coach clip, and this is a great one. This is Dennis Green after his Arizona Cardinals lost to the Chicago Bears and I don't think the Bears scored an offensive touchdown. His team collapsed, and you can hear it in his voice. Here's Dennis Green.
4 picks against Grossman and 2 fumbles. What did you see about the Bears? We shut them down that way?
No, the Bears are what we thought they were. They're what we thought they were. We played them in preseason. Who the hell takes a third game in a preseason like it's bull? We played them in the third game. Everybody played 3 quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Wow.
Ouch. I mean, I can't even imagine losing a game like that. I remember that game. But we've got, that's our question of the night, folks. Who is your favorite coach? And going to social media, Dave Hendrick, my pal Dave Hendrick on Facebook says, Ernie Pantuso, coach. Love coach. Mike Mercury, Madison-based stand-up comedian, says, coach. Craig T. Nelson from the show, coach. Eric Rathsack from Ask Your Mother also says, he was going to say Craig T. Nelson as well. You can say that, Eric. We can all share these coaches. Matt Harper also says, he says Kyle Chandler as Coach Taylor from Friday Night Lights. Another one for Friday Night Lights. Comedian Boris Hamilton, listening from Los Angeles, says Phil Jackson. We talked about Phil Jackson a little earlier. PJ, as Michael Jordan used to call him. Tim Baker says Don Knotts in Gus. I don't think I ever saw Gus.
I don't think I have either.
And then Tony on social media posted a picture of a purse that says Coach. Looks like a Louis Vuitton bag, maybe? Erica Larson says Jim Mora and posted a meme of that crazy Jim Mora when he kept saying playoffs, playoffs in this crazy weird voice. It's always great. However you guys reach us, social media, text, stream, app, it's all great. Bridget in the 818 says Phil Jackson. He is smart and cool. Kind of a hippie too. So he was a good coach. No question about that. Thank you, Bridget, for the text. So, Dom, here are some records you might not know that were set in Wisconsin. I saw this on Up North News. Love the work they do there. Ellie Bordeaux is coming back on the show soon. She is one of the reporters for Up North News. But these are records that were set in Wisconsin that you probably didn't know about. And the first one I'm going to say, this is number 7. If you go to upnorthnewswi.com, the most llamas pulling a carriage. That's probably why you moved to Wisconsin, right, Dom?
What? I didn't even know that was a real thing.
This is so crazy. Last night we had the Green Bay Llama, Jason Jerry, on the show, and I thought llama in Green Bay, and this was a real thing. Mayor Jim Schmidt walked a llama over the bridge. So Jason started a Facebook group called the Society of the Llama or something like that. A weird thing to associate with Wisconsin, but number 7 on this Up North News list says most llamas pulling a carriage. It's unusual to see any llamas in Wisconsin in general, especially when there are 56 of them at once.
Oh my God. What?
I mean,
I got to see this. God, I got to see this for myself. That is unbelievable.
Stratford, Wisconsin resident was able to hitch 56 llamas as well as 8 ponies to a cart and break the world record for most llamas pulling a carriage. I mean, of all the records to aim for.
Listen, that's the one to hit. You know, that's the one. That's the one that I would love that record. You kidding me?
The question is, were the llamas doing this against their will? What if they didn't want anything to do with this record? Here's another one. Number 10, most siblings to compete in a marathon. It was the Caprell family. And the siblings and Oshkosh natives ranged in ages from 18 to 44 and all completed a marathon, 26.2-mile race in under 6 hours. That's a pretty cool one. They went to Oshkosh Lords Academy. They were always good at sports when I was in high school, too. Here's another one. This was not a surprise. Largest cheese platter board. Is it any surprise that Wisconsin is home to a cheese-based world record? It is not. America's Dairyland is well known for its cheese production, so it makes sense that the state could produce the largest ever cheese platter board. The board was put together by Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, a nonprofit organization based in Madison that markets and promotes Wisconsin dairy products. Do you like cheese, Dom?
I love cheese. Yeah. That's the whole reason why I actually moved here, you know, because I'm also originally from Chicago, but cheese is kind of what got me. Even though I do have celiac disease, it doesn't matter. I'm still...
Do you really?
I do, yes.
But celiac, is there gluten in cheese?
There is. I think
probably. Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, there should be. All I know is I was recently diagnosed, so, you know.
Oh, sorry to hear that. Maybe that's what Conrad has.
That's, you know what? I've got to ask him about that, too.
That doesn't work, though, because you're here and you have it. All right, we are coming right back. Jim Healy is on the way, folks. We're talking movies after the news. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're up all night to the sun. We're up all night to get some. We're up all night for good fun. We're up all night to get lucky. 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 Welcome back. I am Pete Schwab, but this is Nightlight. This is a Wednesday evening edition of the show, folks. But we're going a little farther. We have to, because Conrad, we are a man down. Conrad is sick, and I just got word from another source, Dom. Conrad has alien hand syndrome.
Oh, man.
So it's not gigantism. It's not celiacs. It's not the pig's flu. He has got alien hand syndrome. I don't even know what that is, but we're going to get to the bottom of it. I hope that means he can work the board tomorrow night. But if not, you need to be in the bullpen.
We're just going through the whole lines of things that could be wrong with him.
There are probably HIPAA restrictions on this, but that's not for me to say. You know what? I'm surprised we haven't heard Mike McCarthy. We heard Holmgren, and this is Wisconsin. Whatever reason, maybe it was Aaron Rodgers, but Mike McCarthy, I don't think is as popular as he should be. And by all accounts I've heard, he is a great guy. And he delivered a Super Bowl to Green Bay. But, you know, maybe there are McCarthy fans out there and they just haven't responded. In any event, let's get to our next guest of the night. Very excited to welcome this next gentleman. He is one of our frequent flyers here. We love to talk movies with this next guy. He is one of the programmers of UW Cinematheque and the Wisconsin Film Festival, and I believe he also coached the Packers for a stint in the early 60s, but we'll get to the bottom of that as well. Mr. Jim Healy joins us now over the stream. Hey, buddy.
Hey, call me Vince Lombardi.
Vince Lum Healy, I think, is you got to get that Irish out there, Jim, you know.
Vince Lumbago.
There you go. How are you tonight, Jim?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Great to have you here. I'm doing very well.
Good.
We have do you have a favorite coach, Jim? Speaking of coaches,
no.
That's our question of the night.
No, we've talked before about the number of movies I see, you know, every year. Because I brag about it. You know, it's one of the things I do. And one of the reasons is I almost never mentioned this, but one of the reasons why I'm able to get my numbers up so high is that I watch almost no professional sports at all at home. I go to sports. I go to Badgers games here, football, basketball, hockey, volleyball. And I've been to three MLB games last year and I enjoy it. I enjoy it live, but I don't follow I don't follow it at all. Like I can't get caught up in that. Right. I probably could if I started to, but that's just, you know, it's just one of the things. So I watch 700 movies a year, you know.
Well, those sports would cut into that because, like, here's where I'm at with sports. I can only watch my team now. And if there's a great game on between two Titans, whether it's the game 7 of the World Series or an NFL playoff game, I'll watch the last few minutes because that's great drama. And that's, you just, it's like car chases. You don't know the ending. Like typically in movies, usually you see the ending coming. That's not the case with sports. So I'll always have like a thing for sports, but I'm with you. I cannot just sit and watch a game. The commercials drive me crazy. And another thing, Jim, yeah. I don't ever need to hear a coach talk again after a game, unless they're crazy or outlandish. Heard it, seen it. You're not going to impress me.
Throwing a chair.
Well, that's different. Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. It's very dramatic. I just see it. And I even see the drama of the full season and the suspense in that, but it's never been in my focus. Everybody in my family follows sports, all my brothers, my father, you know, all my cousins and aunts and uncles, but I just never, it just, you know, just always got in the way of movie watching. So
that's so great. And let's a tip of my hat. Here's why I prefer movies typically is because I know what I'm getting. I'm going to see, especially if it's a movie I've seen before. And I know that sounds like, well, why would you put that above a great sporting event or something? Well, a movie I've seen before, I obviously, if I'm watching it again, I love it. I love everything about it typically. And I know what I'm getting.
But you value surprise, especially in something you haven't seen before. Right. But also in the surprise of how you're going to feel seeing something you've seen before and loved, you know, how are you going to react to it this time? Are you able to watch it with somebody like one of your kids and see it through their eyes? And is it that much more exciting? Does it reveal itself more to you than it did whenever you last saw it 1, 5, 10 years ago, whatever. And that's the best.
That's the best. And you're right. Like with your kids, like I just watched Once Upon a Time in Hollywood recently with my daughter who had never seen it. And they pick up things that you didn't pick up. And it's like I'm amazed, Jim, the sign of a great movie to me is when I have seen it before, I know how it ends and I still feel the tension. Like in a scene, like for example, in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, that scene where Brad Pitt is talking to Bruce Dern on the Spawn movie. Right? It's so great.
Great.
I know what happens.
Yeah. You know, that was supposed to be Burt Reynolds. Almost right up until they were shooting, and Burt, it was right before he died, and he was getting sick, and he was going to play Spawn. So Bruce Dern came in at the last minute and did a favor
Tarantino. I love those little tidbits. To be honest, Burt Reynolds probably would have been great at that. Like there.
Oh yeah, I would have loved to have seen him in that.
Yeah,
and it would have been his last movie. What a one to go out on, you know.
I saw a show, Jim. I'm getting off on a tangent here, but since Burt Reynolds has been brought up, I saw it was a one man show of some writer years and years ago, right after I had moved to LA. A guy in my building had tickets. He was like the Mike Damone of my apartment building. Mike Damone, of course, from Fast Times at Ridgemont High, but he got all these tickets. So we went and saw this writer who had written on all these great shows and he had phenomenal stories. And one of them was about Burt Reynolds. And he said he was doing punch up on Smokey and the Bandit. And he was in Burt Reynolds' trailer. They were working on the script together and they broke for the day. And he said, I'm leaving. And Burt Reynolds says, we're having a party later. Come on by. And Frank Sinatra was also in Smokey and the Bandit. I think if I got the movie
Cannonball Run too,
or Cannonball Run. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Same difference. Anyway, he said, he goes, you know what? Frank Sinatra is having something too. I really want to meet Sinatra and I just want to go to that, but thanks for the invitation. And Burt Reynolds looked at him in all seriousness and said, Sinatra is not where the heat's at, baby. That is the one thing I remember for that show, and it has always stuck with me. And I can totally hear Burt Reynolds saying that. I love it. So,
yeah, he was a giant star.
Oh, he's huge. Yeah. And there was that time where Sinatra wasn't, you know, he reached his peak fame. Then, you know, people kind of go away. Not that he ever wasn't popular, but then he has a resurgence. And you can kind of understand why he said that, you know.
You know, the story I heard about Burt Reynolds recently, speaking of roles he didn't play, was that James L. Brooks, who had written a film in 1979, which one of Burt Reynolds' best performances, called Starting Over. It's a movie where Burt shaves his mustache off, so you know it's of high quality. It's a very good movie, but James L. Brooks didn't direct it, and he was about to make his directorial debut with Terms of Endearment. He wrote Terms of Endearment. He wrote the part of Garrett, the astronaut, for Burt Reynolds.
Oh, wow.
And Burt Reynolds turned it down to do Stroker Ace, I think.
That's like a stepchild to Cannonball Run or Smokey.
Exactly. I think it's the year before. Yeah, I think those were his next two consecutive movies, were Stroker Ace and Cannonball Run 2.
And now that you just mentioned James L. Brooks, I have another. Okay. So a friend of mine had Clippers tickets. We were going to sit in a luxury box. Nobody cares about the LA Clippers. But we're like, oh, let's go eat the food and sit in a luxury box. It'll be great. So my friend Jeff Lewis was with us, and he thought he saw Leonard Maltin. He got all in a lather. He like was blushing. He's like, oh my God, Leonard Maltin. That's Leonard Maltin right up there. It turns out it was James L. Brooks, not Leonard Maltin. And I'm like, he's like, oh, and he wasn't as impressed for some reason.
He's got Brooks has got the Oscars. You know?
He's got everything. Yeah. The guy's a giant. You know, that's so great. Did you see his new movie, by the way?
I did see it. And it's a disappointment.
Yeah.
But it's still interesting. It's worth seeing. I know you and I are both mutual fans of Albert Brooks.
Oh, yeah.
His James L. Brooks' frequent collaborator, no relation. Yeah. But the best scene in the movie is in the last, 20 minutes of the film. And it's a scene between the leading lady, Emma Mackey and Albert Brooks, and it's great. It's almost worth seeing the movie for.
Really?
But it gets this feeling as soon as you start watching it, like the narration kicks in and there's all this music kind of making up for things, and there's so many characters, and you just get the feeling that there was probably a 3-hour movie, not necessarily one that was better, and they cut it down to make it whatever it is. And it just feels like, feels like patched together. It never really gels,
That's interesting. I have not seen it. When I heard it was coming out, I was like, I'm really curious to see this, but I hate when I wait and hear things that are disappointing, 'cause then I don't go see it,
Yeah. No, nothing would have stopped me from seeing. He's a major filmmaker, and he hadn't made a movie for 15 years. Yeah, I think he's 85 years old. I don't know how many more he's got in him, if he's even going to try. I was very curious about it. Do you know anything about?
Sorry, what, Jim? Say that again.
Oh, sorry. He did a movie in 1994 called I'll Do Anything.
Oh, yeah. I saw that years
ago. With Nick Nolte. Yeah. So the movie that came out with Nick Nolte, Albert Brooks, Julie Kavner, Jolie Richardson, it's a Tracy Ullman. It's a comedy about actors and filmmakers in Hollywood fighting the whole idea of like test screenings and test audiences who can say yay or nay to a movie. Brooks shot the whole movie as a musical with full musical numbers by Prince, Sinead O'Connor, Carole King, all these like top songwriters. And at the last minute, just before release, ditched all of the musical numbers, cut them all out, got nervous because of a bad test screening, and released the movie without anything. And about 10 years ago, he was mentioning that he was thinking about re-releasing it with the numbers back in, but Prince, I guess, had more say at that point and put the kibosh on it.
I would love to see it. I don't remember much about the movie. I remember kind of liking it, but I don't remember much about it at all. The movie we were talking about before, for those of you interested, is Ella McKay, and it just did not perform well. And I'll see it eventually, Jim, but I'm not going to rush out to the theaters, I guess, when it gets reviews like that.
I know you'll catch up. it's probably just as good on Hulu or wherever it's going to be.
Yeah, exactly. My guest is Jim Healy. He joins us periodically to talk about movies. And Jim, we've got about, you know what, let's just keep this till after the break. I'd love to hear what you have coming up at Cinematech. And if you have anything you can tell us about the Wisconsin Film Festival, and then we'll get into some movies and potential Oscar movies. Great night. Jim Healy is here. And in the 920, Herb Brook is 920's coach. And that's Stan from DePere. Miracle on Ice. Yes, of course. Okay. That was a great. He says best sports speech ever. And that was outstanding. We have had some outstanding choices here tonight. We are coming right back with Jim Healy. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Just like the sunny morning
light. You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
I like it, Dom. Good choice, buddy. Hey, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Great night to be here. Conrad is out. Dom Lee is bravely filling in for Conrad, who has some mysterious illness that we are still trying to get to the bottom of. But the good thing is Jim Healy is here. Folks from joining us over the stream from Madison, a fantastic cinephile and one of the programmers of UW Cinematech. And the Wisconsin Film Festival. Jim, what is coming up that you could tell us about at UW Cinematech? And in your opinion, do people take advantage of that enough, this Cinematech program?
Well, you know, enough for me would be, you know, our regular Cinematech theater is only 170 seats. And yeah, enough for me would be a full house every night, or maybe just enough empty seats to accommodate just about everybody.
Sure.
And you know, and it's not like that, but we're doing, you know, increasing numbers as the years and months have gone by, especially since we returned to in-person screenings after COVID. And regularly now, our average attendance is 2/3 full. Now we start our seasons with a premiere series. So on Thursday night, we're screening new films that are making their first area theatrical screenings in Madison, and you can see them for free. And a lot of times they're, you know, titles that are, you know, very much, you know, high profile movies that are being well reviewed and from and coming off a hot festival circuit run. So, you know, for instance, we ended the season in December with The Secret Agent, which is this terrific new movie from Brazil.
Dying and we're, to see and that.
Oh, it's great. And it's a real cinephiles movie, too. About 20% of the movie takes place within the projection booth and the rooms just adjacent to it in the theater in Recife, Brazil. But that's showing The Omen in 1977, by the way.
Oh, no.
We're starting our next season a week from tomorrow. That's the 22nd, with a movie called Surat. It's a French-Spanish co-production directed by the French director Olivier Lax. And it's been called, you know, it's been on many top 10 lists for 2025. Justin Chang, who writes on film for The New Yorker and reviews for NPR, called it the best movie of the year. So I think that's the kind of show where we can expect a full house. And, you know, I recommend arriving early because sometimes it's nights like that where we're full up before showtime and we have to turn some people away. But most of the time, not. There's almost always an empty seat.
That's great.
But you do have to get there by, you know, by showtime. Otherwise, you know, We don't like let in stragglers, you know. So
get locked out. What about the Wisconsin Film Festival, Jim? I imagine things are ramping up and you're making your decisions and all that kind of stuff. Is there anything, I know it's early, but it's coming up fast. Is there anything you could tell us about this year's festival ahead of time?
I'm trying to think if there's anything I can leak, and I don't think there is. There, things are, you're correct, things are being confirmed. We're booking things one film at a time, sometimes two or three films at a time. Working out deals, and we're you know, actively looking at things. We're doing our last festival visits to check things out, but you know, we like to keep our titles you know, under wraps. I can tell you there's going to be a another great balance of new movies from around the world, of all lengths, shorts and features. And then a healthy representation of rediscoveries, restorations, films from throughout cinema history that hopefully will be either something completely new and revealing for you, or something you've seen before that will be just as revealing the second time you see it. That's or third great. Or fourth.
Yeah. Did you see the Threesome from last year's?
I just caught up with it. I was one of the last movies I saw on 2025. I watched it on Netflix. Very good director, Chad Hartigan. Really, really talented film. It was a surprising film. I liked the fact that it felt like a smart, smart, traditional romantic comedy, but on an indie film's budget. You know, it looked right. Great. The dialogue was snappy. All the acting was great, but you know, it all filmed in Little Rock, Arkansas. And
is that right? You know, I didn't know that.
With the, yeah, I think it might be where the filmmaker's from, but really, really entertaining movie. Very, you know, and you know, one of those things where you really don't know where it's going from start to finish.
I loved it. I thought it was, I'm not a rom-com guy. I mean, I like a good rom-com. I don't seek them out. I thought that one kind of blew me away. There's a big twist in it. And then the writing I thought was very thoughtful with what happens after the twist. Really dug it. And it had an indie feel. And I think I like that about it too. Jim Healy is here, folks. We are going to break for the news, and I hope you can stick with us, Jim, because we haven't even gotten to movies yet. So we'll do a few more minutes with Jim after the break, and we'll talk about what he thinks might be in the prime position for an Oscar this year, as well as some other stuff that we've watched. Craig Knitt on the stream says it may be a bit narcissistic, but I'm a big fan of Coach Sam Johnson in Rise of Deermageddon. And JB Thompson says, I would second Craig's opinion. A local indie film there. So good shout out and good plug, guys. Well done. Very well done. Two of my faves. We're coming back with Jim Healy. Patty Vasquez coming up at 7:20. Lots to come in Act 3. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.